Good evening and welcome to Indie Radio News, the weekly radio news program from The Independent, a free progressive monthly newspaper and online news site based here in New York. We cover special social justice movements and the issues that they are fighting for both here in the city and around the world. We are your hosts, Elia Grand and Lydia McMullen-Laird.
One, two, three, four. Everybody's talking about faggots, taggots, maggots, maggots, faggots, faggots, this is a maggot, this is a maggot. All we are saying is give peace a chance.
That's all I'm
saying. All we are saying is give peace a chance.
Yeah. Come on.
Everybody's talking about ministers, sinisters, baddesters, and daddies, bishops and bishops and rabbis and papas and bye-byes, bye-byes. All we are saying is give peace a chance.
Yesterday marked 17 years since the U.S. invaded Afghanistan, a move that has triggered years of combat, massive troop deployments, and thousands of deaths in the Afghan war. Just yesterday, at least 54 people were killed across Afghanistan, 19 of them civilians. Here in New York, protesters gathered at the Times Square military recruiting station yesterday to demand an end to this war. We're joined today by Susan Schnall, who was among the protesters. She is the president of Veterans for Peace and a former Navy nurse who was court-martialed for anti-Vietnam War actions. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So start by telling us why you decided to join the protest yesterday and why you think it's important to continue to protest the Afghan War.
Part of the reason is we are veterans for peace, and so we think it's very important for us to get a message out there that we were people who once served in the United States military, and currently we are against United States deployment in all of the countries overseas in which we're currently engaged. And it's important to let people know. I think particularly outside the Armed Services Recruiting Station is an appropriate place because it's used as a recruitment tool to keep bringing in both men and women into the military. That's one issue. The other is that there are many, many people outside who heard us and heard our message and saw our signs.
And you were very involved in protests against the Vietnam War. What do you think is the difference now with war protests that are going on nowadays? And what's sort of the generational divide there?
I would hope that it's not quite a generational divide because in Veterans for Peace, we're working together with veterans of different deployments of United States troops. So we talk about what we can do that would bring attention to the fact that veterans are against United States involvement overseas. The difference is younger people certainly are much more technologically proficient than we are and get messages out through Twitter and Instagram and text messaging, although some of us elders are using some of that technology, and that we have more of a history of taking to the streets time and time and time again, and to reach out to people and to hand out flyers and information about our message and to meet together in person. I think both are effective organizing strategies, and for us, the most important thing is to work together and to show the different generations.
And can you talk a little bit about how war itself has changed? You were part of the Vietnam War. Now war is much more remote. It's something that we don't connect with as much. Can you talk about that difference a little bit and how
sure.
that informs your activism?
I think eliminating the draft, eliminating the closeness and the impact of war on every American family, when everybody had the potential to be drafted into the conflict in Southeast Asia, everybody in this country was involved. They were concerned about losing a loved one or the impact on their family or family separation. T- today we have an economic draft so that people who need to be able to find employment and think that they will be getting a college education and moving ahead will join the military. I was just looking at deployment information and looking at how many times individual servicemen and women are deployed overseas. And we're talking about deployments of 5, 6, 7 times into armed conflict, very different from the conflict in Southeast Asia, where if you were sent overseas, you had a 12-month deployment, and that was it. If you went back a second time, it was your own choice.
And what was it about your own experience in Vietnam that inspired you to be an activist, that you're still, you know, protesting against wars today? What sort of changed for you and inspired that?
I actually was not in Vietnam. I'm part of the Vietnam era. I was in the United States Navy for a couple of years from 1967 to 1969. And I took care of the people who came back from Vietnam. I heard their stories of hatred towards people who look different from us. I heard their stories of death and destruction of who they perceived to be the enemy. I heard their nightmares in the middle of the night where they would go through minefields and yell and scream about what might have happened, or yell at people to be careful about what might have happened. And I saw their war injuries. So I turned against that conflict and was active in working within the service and speaking out to the American public.
You've also done quite a bit of organizing to raise awareness about the impacts of Agent Orange. Can you talk about what that is and why people should care about it?
Sure. Agent Orange dioxin is an herbicide defoliant that was used in Vietnam. It was flown over primarily South Central Vietnam, and the target were the mangrove forests. It was also the agriculture. It was a food supply for the Vietnamese. We sprayed over 20 million liters over 3.4 million Vietnamese. That impact, and that we sprayed for about 10 years, from 1961 to 1971, that spraying impact continues to have an impact both on the Americans who had boots on the ground in Vietnam, which potentially could be several million troops. It has an impact on the Vietnamese who continue to live in areas where the dioxin remains in the sediment in the land and has an impact on the food supply. There currently are about 18 different, what the VA has identified as 18 presumed illnesses for which American service people are compensated. The children of American service women are taken care of if they were born with birth defects. But for the children of American servicemen, there is only one identified diagnosis for which that child will be taken care of. We do not take care of the Vietnamese that we have injured. We don't take care of their children who continue to be born with severe birth defects. And we need to. We have a responsibility to them.
And what's the status now? Is this something we're still using in the Afghan war, or have we stopped using it since? Can you talk a little bit about how this impacts, you know, today, the wars today?
We're no longer using the Agent Orange dioxin in Afghanistan. What is interesting in today's world is that a contract worker was just approved to get several million dollars for having been impacted by what we call burn pits that are being used in Afghanistan and Iraq. And that is the burning of electrical equipment, of computers, of and sometimes even body parts. And those burn pits have been fueled by the use of jet fuel. It contaminates the air in the surrounding area. Right now, the VA is not recognizing exposure to the burn pits for compensation and for care in the VA, but there are ongoing studies. And what it reminds me of is how long it took this government and the VA to recognize those illnesses and birth defects that were caused by the use of Agent Orange dioxin in Vietnam. So it takes the government time to identify its responsibility. And then the studies years later will identify that in the meantime, people die and they're not cared for.
Thank you so much for joining us, Susan. We'll have to leave it there for now. You're listening to Indie Radio News on WBAI 99.5 FM. Next segment, we'll be talking here about the controversy surrounding Columbus Day with Marin Tabiche and Christopher Mann.